Hello, this is Anviti. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Monday, September 8th, and coming up in today's episode. Supreme Court instructs Election Commission to accept Aadhaar card as the 12th verification document in Bihar SIR exercise. Opposition's Fulera dig as Delhi CM Rekha Gupta's husband attends official meet. Supreme Court dismisses BJP leader's defamation plea against Telangana Chief Minister Revanth Reddy over poll speech, and 8 dead as protest erupt in Kathmandu over social media ban and alleged corruption. The Supreme Court has directed the Election Commission of India, or ECI, to recognize the Aadhaar card as an additional document for establishing identity in the ongoing revision of electoral rolls in Bihar. A bench of Justices Suryakant and Joymala Bagchi clarified that while Aadhaar can be accepted as the 12th document for proof of identity, it cannot be treated as proof of citizenship. Justice Suryakant stated, quote, "If someone comes with Aadhaar, the ECI should verify whether it is forged or genuine. People have forged all kinds of documents, Aadhaar or passport, so let the ECI check," unquote. The direction came during a hearing on petitions filed by RJD and many others who alleged that ECI had failed to comply with the court's earlier orders. Senior advocate Kapil Sibal, appearing for RJD, argued, "Aadhaar is a universal document. We have 24 affidavits from electors who were told that only one of 11 listed documents would be accepted. Disciplinary action has even been taken against some BLOs, block-level officers, for accepting Aadhaar." Mr. Sibal added that the ECI had not issued clear instructions despite previous Supreme Court rulings. He insisted, "We are only asking for Aadhaar to be accepted as proof of residence." Justice Joymala Bagchi questioned ECI's current approach, asking, "Why does your show cause notice only refer to the 11 documents? Our previous order made it clear that the list is illustrative, not exhaustive." Appearing for the Election Commission, senior advocate Rakesh Dwivedi told the court, "Aadhaar can be submitted digitally or online, but it is not proof of citizenship. We are rejecting the argument that the ECI lacks power to verify identity." The court recorded the ECI's undertaking that a circular will be issued, treating Aadhaar as the 12th acceptable document for voter verification. The judges reiterated that the Aadhaar card issued under the Aadhaar Act may be used for identification during the special intensive revision of electoral rolls, but not as proof of citizenship. The final electoral roll for Bihar is expected on 30th September. The top court will resume hearings on the matter next Monday. Meanwhile, politics on the matter continues to heat up. Congress, who has been championing vote theft charges against the ruling party, as well as claiming that the SIR exercise is a way to steal voting rights from citizens, have been undermined by their own party member, Shashi Tharoor, who supported the SIR today. Suggesting that he should have thicker skin, the Supreme Court has dismissed a plea filed by Telangana BJP leader Kasam Venkateshwarlu, issuing defamation charges against Revanth Reddy. Mr. Venkateshwarlu had challenged a High Court decision that quashed a criminal defamation case against Telangana Chief Minister A. Revanth Reddy. The case stemmed from a speech made by Mr. Reddy during Lok Sabha election campaign in 2024, in which he alleged that the BJP would remove reservation for Scheduled Caste, Scheduled Tribe and other backward classes if it secured 400 seats in Parliament. On Monday, a three-judge bench led by Chief Justice of India B.R. Gawai and comprising Justices K. Vinod Chandran and Atul S. Chandurkar declined to admit the petition. Senior advocate Ranjit Kumar, appearing for the BJP leader, urged the court to consider the matter. However, Chief Justice Gawai said, "We have repeated on many occasions, courts cannot be converted into political battlegrounds." When Kumar continued with his arguments, the Chief Justice responded firmly, "If you are in politics, you should have thick skin. Dismissed." Senior Advocate A.M. Singhvi, Abhishek Manu Singhvi, representing Chief Minister Revanth Reddy, said there would be no room for political discourse if such comments were treated as defamation. Earlier, Kasam Venkateshwarlu, who serves as Telangana BJP General Secretary, had filed a complaint in the Magistrates' Court in May 2024. The court had directed the registration of a case under several sections of Indian Penal Code and the Representation of People Act 1951. However, in August, the Telangana High Court set aside the order and dismissed the complaint. The court ruled that the alleged comments were aimed at BJP as a political party and not at any individual. Therefore, it said the BJP unit could not be treated as an aggrieved person under Section 199(1) of the Code of Criminal Procedure. The High Court also observed that Mr. Venkateshwarlu had filed the case in his personal capacity and had not mentioned in his complaint that he was personally defamed or targeted by the remarks. With the Supreme Court now rejecting the appeal, the matter stands closed, bringing an end to the legal challenge, which has lasted for over a year. Political controversy has erupted in the national capital after Delhi Chief Minister Rekha Gupta's husband, Manish Gupta, was seen attending an official government meeting. The meeting held on Sunday was organized to review development work in Shalimar Bagh Assembly constituency. Photographs shared by the Chief Minister on social media showed Manish Gupta, a businessman and social worker by profession, seated next to her during the session. The images sparked criticism from opposition parties and even the general public, who questioned his presence at a government meeting despite holding no official post. Aam Aadmi Party leader Saurabh Bhardwaj accused the Chief Minister of breaching constitutional norms. He compared the situation to the fictional village of Fulera from web series Panchayat, where the elected woman leader's husband exercised authority unofficially and she was more of a stamp paper position. Quote, Delhi government becomes Fulera Panchayat. Just like in Fulera, today in Delhi, the chief minister's husband is sitting in official meetings. This is completely unconstitutional, he posted on social media. Mr. Bhardwaj also questioned whether this reflects dynastic politics, asking, does the chief minister of the world's largest party have no worker left whom she can trust? The Congress party joined the criticism, posting a photo with the caption, who is running the government of Delhi? Is it Madam Rekha Gupta or her husband? BJP leaders have, however, defended the chief minister, insisting that there was nothing improper about Mr. Gupta's presence. Delhi BJP leader Harish Khurana told NDTV Manish Gupta is not just a husband, he has been working in Shalimar Bagh as a social worker. Residents were also a part of the meeting. Amit Malviya, head of BJP's IT cell, rejected the allegations and accused the opposition of targeting Ms. Gupta because she's a woman. Quote, stop targeting Rekha Gupta just because she is a woman who is doing a good job, unquote. Mr. Malviya also pointed to similar past examples, just as Sheila Dixit's constituency was managed by her sister and Sunita Kejriwal used to handle Arvind Kejriwal. This is no different. This isn't the first time the issue has been raised. In April, Aam Aadmi Party leaders also criticized Manish Gupta's involvement after he was reportedly seen chairing a meeting with government officials without Ms. Gupta present. Army was deployed, water cannons were used, and police opened fire at a mostly Gen Z protesting crowd taking over the streets of Kathmandu and breaching parliament security after a social media ban in Nepal. At least 8 have died and hundreds were injured as large-scale protests turned violent in Nepal's capital Kathmandu. Demonstrators, mainly young people from Gen Z, took to the streets on Monday, demanding an end to government corruption and the recent ban on almost all of the major social media platforms in the country, including WhatsApp and Facebook and Instagram. Authorities imposed a curfew and deployed the army after crowds pushed past barriers and entered restricted areas. This included the grounds of the Federal Parliament. Police responded with water cannon, tear gas and rubber pellets to disperse the protesters. According to the Kathmandu Post, many were hurt in the clashes. This includes a journalist who was covering the events. Prime Minister K.P. Sharma Oli has called for an emergency cabinet meeting The meeting will take place at 6 p.m. at the official Prime Minister's residence in Baluwatar. Kantipur television reporter Shyam Shresth was hit by a rubber bullet in Baneshwar and is now receiving medical treatment. Another protester was reportedly injured in Damak, the hometown of Prime Minister K.P. Sharma Oli, just after the unrest spread there. The unrest follows the government's decision to block 26 unregistered social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, and YouTube. Since Friday, users across the country have been unable to access many of these services, leading to confusion and frustration, especially among young users who rely on them for business, news and communication, and basically everything. Quote, "We were triggered by the social media ban, but that is not the only reason we have gathered here today. We are protesting against corruption that has been institutionalized in Nepal," said a 24-year-old student, Yujan Rajbhandari. Protesters began their rally by singing the national anthem, waving flags and chanting slogans against the ban and broader government policies. Ikshama Tumruk, a 20-year-old student, said, "We want to change. We want to see change. Others have endured this, but this has to end with our generation. This being corruption." The Kathmandu District Administration Office extended the curfew to cover high security areas, including President and Prime Minister's residences, Singha Darbar, and surrounding zones. Movement and gatherings have been banned from 12:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. under the Local Administration Act. However, people continue to flood the streets. Visuals show a large gathering of crowds holding placards, shouting slogans and targeting the government. It's almost a face-off between the young, the youth of the country and the powers controlling the government. The government has meanwhile defended the ban, saying it aims to regulate unregistered platforms and combat online fraud. Last month, it gave companies 7 days to register locally and assign grievance officers. Nepal has previously restricted apps, including the short-lived ban on TikTok, which was lifted after the platform agreed to comply with local regulations. The protest, however, continues to grow at the time of the recording, fueled by concerns over free expression and lack of transparency within the government. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV. Your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the news with NDTV on Apple, Spotify, and the NDTV News app. This is your host, Anditi, signing off.